We can find instant satisfaction in almost anything these days. Sleepy? Instant coffee. Need to sell your car fast? Car sales? Instant offer. That's right. Sell your car the instant way. And get it done with Australia's most trusted site for cars.
G'day everybody, welcome to the show. It is the Carlton Show, round 16. Round 16 in the bank, more of the same, I reckon. There's a pattern developing here, and we had a bit more of the same that we didn't necessarily like the look of for a while, and now we're getting a bit more of the same that bits of it we like and some of it we'd like to probably discard, I reckon. Great to have you with us. Bagsy, good to see you.
Andy, Gex, how are you?
Gex, man.
Baz, Andy, how are you travelling?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a long season.
Ooh, not wrong. Found this one a bit difficult to assess and jot things down about and whatever, but...
That's understandable, I reckon,
It gets a bit...
Do we talk about the first three quarters that were almost unwatchable or the last quarter that had more positive aspects?
You can talk about whatever you want, really.
You can have a go at everything, really. I mean, the way I looked at it early, they looked disinterested. They looked lackluster, no intensity, second of the ball and slow. That's what I gathered in parts of the first three quarters. It wasn't the entire three quarters. The replay a couple of times. Yeah. And we had our patches in those three quarters, and hence we kept in touch to a degree.
That's fair. And we were.
We kept in touch. Yeah. That's what we had to do, was keep in touch. And then, look, they had their injuries. They had no bench in the last quarter. You knew we were going to launch. I've certainly felt that we were going to launch in the last quarter, and we did.
Sort of hoped we were going to, and then thankfully we did,
I thought the signs were there late in the third when I think Levi kicked one to keep us around that five-goal mark and did Setterfield, but he also missed a couple.
Yeah, he missed a couple. He had three shots in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just thought that five-goal margin, with them not having the full complement on the bench.
McDonald off.
Why he chops us up?
It's the same blokes every year that do the same things to us virtually every game. It's just unbelievable.
Big men terrorise us. The big key forwards.
Little blokes have it too, on occasions.
Yeah,
we were the masters of giving little small forwards a bloody armchair ride for about two and a half years too.
I guess it's the same blokes that do the same things to us. You're small or whether you're big.
Yep.
I think the commentators even said, "Oh, gee, Tommy McDonald, he's got a good record against Carlton."
Hmm.
We certainly ran him back into form, but I don't think he's playing for the rest of the year. So
we were ready for him this time, weren't we?
Oh yeah, yeah, we absolutely ready.
What should we have done? I mean,
ask just before you continue. The first contest that McDonald was involved with was Marchbank trailing him behind a lead. And McDonald outmarks him. And I said to myself, has Marchbank got the job on him this week? The next contest, Soss was trailing him in on a spoil, on a lead. Now, my head was starting to steam at that stage, thinking, what the freaking hell is going on out there? Because apparently nobody was assigned his
role. Well, Jones looked like he had the job, didn't he?
He was eventually.
He did, but I tell you what, I hardly ever saw him toe to toe in a contest.
No,
he won the stoppage, but he was involved in a scrimmage and a stoppage and actually won a turnover and just jagged one out his backside.
Yeah.
But Jones was like 10 metres off him.
He was on another
planet. He was having one of those.
He was having one of his days.
The thing that kills me is you get quarter time, you get half time. Chances to reset, have a chat with your line coach, get some plans in it, and nothing changed.
No, it was that side of it was very disappointing.
And that was the difference in the game in the end.
Oh well,
on the scoreboard anyway.
Oh, McDonald. Yeah. Oh, McDonald. Well, McDonald was the best player on the ground at three quarter time by a million miles. Clearly the most decisive player on the ground, and I don't know, whether they've made up their mind that Marchbank can't play key position and his season's now over, whether they've decided he can't play key position defender, I don't know why they didn't roll Jones and Wietering. It just seemed like a fairly straightforward thing to do at one stage, but they just the two or three options that were available to them, they seemed to decide they didn't want to pull the pin on any of them.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, well, yeah, that's exactly right. But what I felt was that isn't Jones normally staying the last man? Like McDonald sucked him up the ground. He went with him. He actually went with him. Well, they didn't.
Cross over.
They didn't swap over. Oh, no. I would have thought that he'd swap over with Wiedering. I mean, you'd say to him, Wieders, he's rolling up. Well, you take him now. I'm still staying back. We want to see Jones right in the final.
But the problem with McDonald was getting 75% of his, and this is just off the top of my head without having done, this is a study, but felt like McDonald was getting a lot of his footy within 30 metres of goal anyway. Mm. So,
but he got a few up on the wing, too.
He did. And so I'm happy for him to get up there.
I didn't quite understand why, why'd he roll up there with him?
Well, I don't know. Liam Jones had one of those days, mate.
Yeah. Well, what about when he went for that spoil and left him?
It was unbelievable.
And McDonald said, I'll just sag off and I'll sit in the goal square. He rolled the dice. Liam completely didn't get near it.
And this is when he's got the four goal up on him to begin with.
Lock him down.
Don't you just think my first priority now is to not let him get another kick?
Of course. Yep. Of course. And he got outpointed twice by Petrarca too, just quietly.
Well,
one was in a marking duel, and the other time he just turned him inside out and ran into the open goal.
He generally goes right against us too.
He generally has moments in games we've probably run him into form too.
He's kicked three and, so.
It was really disappointing. The first three quarters, obviously very, very, very disappointing. I thought there was one bloke in the first quarter that gave us a little spark, and it just happens to be a guy who's just turned 19, put his head over the nut with about 7 or 8 minutes to go in that first quarter. The first time that we even looked like going inside 50, we'd only been inside once from a pitiful gutter kick from Paddy Dow that I don't know what he was thinking. That was just horrendous.
He does need a spell.
Horrendous. Yeah. We can pussyfoot around, but, he's a league footballer. He grubbed it.
Yeah. I've got a list of those.
I want to hear them.
How many times has Lockie Plowman's name mentioned on your list?
And Newman? I thought Walsh put his head over the nut in that point, twice actually, in that first quarter, and we sort of were able to get the ball down that outer wing, and we finally had a shot on goal. We missed it. Kennedy hit the post, I think. It was the second time we'd gone inside 50 for the quarter, and it was the 21-minute mark of the first quarter.
Oh, mate, the disposal numbers, the differential between just raw possession numbers, them and us, until we were down 120 at three-quarter time, I reckon.
Yep, we were.
And in the end, they've had about 100 more than us in total anyway. But it wasn't but for the last quarter where we got on top. Mm. It was a low possession count game anyway.
It wasn't a particularly high possession count game. No, it wasn't.
But we were absolutely could not get near the footy. Look, there's a couple of things we'll talk about on the way through. Just while you're talking about Walsh.
I just thought that he got things going at least.
His ability, for a kid of his size and experience at this level, his ability to win the ball in the contest, like just get clean hands in the heat of the contest and find a way of distributing it. Just he doesn't look like he should be able to get his arms free. Yeah. But I reckon on half a dozen occasions, he went and got the pill where maybe a Cripps normally would. Mm-hmm. He went into the Cripps zone, got the footy, sometimes it kind of against the tide a bit, stopped it going away from us, and then sort of turns his body. And he must be incredibly strong for a kid who doesn't look like he is that strong.
He doesn't look it.
But he must be.
I think he copped a lot of attention from Melbourne midfields, whether it be Lewis or Viney or Jones. They paid him a lot more attention than what I've seen probably throughout this year, actually. Mm. But they certainly identified him as one that put some work into him as well. But I thought he stood up tremendously.
I thought
he was a spark in the last quarter.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely. I mean, geez, there's a few that needed to lift in that last quarter. I give you the tip, but
just going back to that first quarter, I agree with what you're saying, both of you, that all aspects of the game we were down on. The mids weren't able to impact early. We couldn't win contested possession.
What mids?
And almost the worst part was the fact that we couldn't stay with Melbourne on the outside.
No,
they were barn dancing around us all quarter.
Gave them space. Short kicks. How many short kicks did they have to us at one stage? 68 to 28.
Yeah. The disposal count went through the roof for the first three quarters.
It's crazy.
But this is the point that I wanted to highlight, because in the first quarter, there was a chronological list of nightmarish turnovers. It was the Dow shank to McGovern going inside 50. Centre bounce, the SBS tackle that he pushes his
ridiculous
into the ground twice in the quarter.
Yep.
Fisher's 50-metre encroachment free kick.
Mm-hmm.
Ed handball from Daisy, kick out to the wing, turned it over with a terrible kick. Gibbons on the wing, marks the ball, turns and chips the ball 15 metres. You didn't see the Melbourne player there, but it was a shocking turnover.
Yep, he did.
A stoppage. Oliver gets the clearance inside 50. Weeders, dumb free kick.
Yep.
Repeat offender. How many times are we seeing this happen? A free to Newman. it was in the back pocket. He kicks completely unforced error. 30-metre kick completely missed, which turns into a turnover and a shot for goal. A kick in by Plowman, 15 metres straight to McDonald.
He had a nightmare, by the way.
Murphy, released on the halfback flank. He has time and space. He hits Kennedy. He drops a chest mark. Turnover. And the last one I had here was Fisher kicks inside 50. What's that? He kicked it straight over Kennedy's head inside 50. He got the free kick for a bit
He's
of a...
He's bringing up bad memories, man.
All right, so...
we'll get to the last quarter.
This is all in one quarter and from nine individual players. Yeah. So...
It set the standard, didn't it?
It's very hard to explain how so many players can all make such huge clangers in succession. Now, I know we kind of see it happening.
Mm.
And it's almost, to an extent, it's happening around the competition.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're seeing
a lot of dirty football.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not the only ones, yeah, for sure.
But it has happened to us more often than most teams for a period of time. And it's a skill and an intelligence thing as well.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Both of those. It's also a composure thing. Like, I think we still... And even right to the final siren, we still lacked, you know,
composure.
We did. Even Simo at the end. So the Simo kick, he just has to kick that 50 metres down the line and we win the game. Yep. He just has to kick it down the line, get it over all the rubbish. It was a panic kick.
Yeah, that's fine. And I agree with you.
We're not potting Simo. Like, we love him. But
no, you are, and that's fine.
I'm just potting the kick.
Yeah, that's okay. What I was going to say is you've banged on about something in AFL that players can't afford to fumble. Who fumbled 10 seconds before that? Newman.
Newman. Yeah.
Fumbled.
Yeah, he dropped a couple of marks too.
No, but he actually fumbled a very easy hand pass or whatever
it
was.
One that,
it bobbled out,
and then he
fumbled.
Puts Petrescu Seaton under
he put him under the pump, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if he doesn't fumble the ball... Yeah. He puts the left boot.
That's a fair call.
He sticks his left boot into it, high and long down the wing, and who knows what happens.
No, that's
but
a
what
fair
happens?
Call.
He fumbled, put the other one under pump. It was SPS, and then he put Simo under the pump, and Simo, rightly so, Andy.
That's the
you're right. He absolutely you don't see him do that,
no,
Simo.
That's the most frustrating aspect is that we are our own worst enemy more than the opposition sometimes.
Like can be.
Like
can be, yeah.
What you've described is something that shouldn't have happened.
But no.
We kind of we amplify things by making multiple
People
mistakes.
Will say it was a greasy ball, it started to spit.
There was a bit of drizzle around.
Fantastic condition.
No, by then it had started raining. There'd been a bit of rain
spit
last
a little
five
bit,
minutes.
But, you know, honestly, that fumble, it was crucial.
Yeah, no,
it was crucial.
Yeah,
and he had seven clangers for the match, Newman.
Yeah.
Yet he had 12 rebound 50s, he had 26 possessions. Mm. But you know what? It doesn't really matter these days. It's what you do with it. And at halftime, Melbourne had used the ball 73% of the time efficiency, and we were sitting on 58.
Yeah.
That's a fair discrepancy, you know. Oh,
yeah. Like, well, when you're not getting, so and you're not getting they're using it better and getting it 60 times more, 70 times more than us for the half.
Yeah, and
well,
the only thing that kept us in
we're
the
lucky
game,
to be 5 goals in.
They were 7-11 to
4 or something, rather. Yeah, but this is their. This has been, like, we're here to talk about Carlton or Melbourne, but this has been the classic Melbourne pattern all year.
Absolutely,
get it inside 450 and they can't convert. Yeah, so they keep opposition sides in it, and to our credit. You know, with a couple of unbelievable finishes. You know, Levi's goal kicking was just as good as I've ever like. We've had
three
it.
Shots for three. Three shots for three
from a combined distance of about 165 meters. Like
that one from outside 50.
Beautiful.
I said to you on the app. As soon as he took, wasn't a free kick, was it? He took a mark from Soss, put one into him, didn't he?
Which quarter? Third.
The one from outside 50. Second quarter, I think it was. Going to the right screen. Well, he did not look like passing that ball. He just said, I'm going to go back and kick it. I'm going back and kicking this goal. And you, I just saw in his eyes, I thought, he's gonna fucking kick this.
Yeah.
He just hit it flush and it just went straight through the middle. It was just magnificent to watch. Yeah, and this is a guy who I certainly had done dusted.
Me too, mate. I'll put my hand up.
Dundusted.
Oh, no, we're all. I think
he had a marathon. Yeah. Let's go even before that. At the start of the season, with our new forward line structure, we basically said Levi will not be playing many games.
Correct. I actually saw him play a little bit in defence in the VFL, and he actually didn't even bring it at the VFL level in defence. He's turned his career around from that North Melbourne game when Liam Jones went down, and Bolton was still the coach, sent him down back. He actually did all right, and that's from the quarter and a half. He actually did okay. But, Andy, you brought something up. I'm not quite sure when it was, about a really ordinary social media.
Oh, to his, it's his wife, his partner.
I'd go as far as to say, from that day forwards, this fella's turned his career around. I don't know if he would have been aware of that particular comment. I'm tipping he may have.
Oh, no, I'm sure his wife would have.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you now, from that day forwards, he has not missed a beat. Whether it's down back and now the last couple of weeks up forward. Last week against Freo, he was up forward, wasn't he?
And then
he's worked in the ruck.
I
reckon he halved the contest against Bruce when Cruiser went off for about 20 minutes. So not only did he kick his three, he had to go into the ruck as well for 20 minutes without a spell.
Who are you picking next week? If it was not that it is going to be down to these two blokes, but if it was him or McGovern, who have you got on the side?
Right now?
There's no contest. So one bloke's on the last legs of a contract. The other bloke's got somewhere between 600 and 800 a year.
It's clearly the best run of football, best spread of games that Levi has ever played, I reckon.
I'd agree with that.
By a long stretch.
I'll say another thing, because I've been a Levi watcher over the years, and I've often criticised him for his body language. Remember he used to give multiple stupid free kicks away. He'd just do dumb things and argue with umpires when he was frustrated. I haven't seen one shred of that this year.
Not at all.
I'm really interested to see, like you're suggesting, Baz, whether there has been something that's happened that's
I'm probably drawing a long bow, Andy. You never know, mate.
There's been a
real change in his attitude, I think.
Yeah, well, the thing you forget about, they're all people, away from we assess them as footballers, and that's all we're here to assess them about. But they've all got things going on in their lives but I always think that he'd never known how to impose himself, Casbolt. That's been his problem. He's never known how to use his size and the natural abilities that he's got. It's a narrow sort of suite of skills that he's got, but they're valuable.
Absolutely, mate.
And somehow he's been able to harness that into a really effective, functioning run of form. And I just all credit to him. He's been a great story for himself. The other ones, that everyone's talking about, everyone's jumped on the Jack Silvani bandwagon this week, and he deserves it. But
his game was fantastic.
It's typical sort of pile on for good or bad, isn't it? Like, there's been a million Silvani columns and he's arrived and Jack's back and here he is and all the rest of it. And he's been a solid work in progress for a long time. And it's no coincidence that he's played sort of a similar role now a couple of weeks in a row, that he may be starting to find.
In the reverse. Like this week he started Oliver.
Well, that's right.
And last week he started forward and then went on to Fife. So in the reverse, he's just got great awareness and the role player that he can be. Like for our, like I'll go back to before round one when we assessed our players, and I think we all realised that Jack is a very, very, very handy player.
Oh no, Dad.
To have on your list
For a bloke who was picked
up. He probably
in the
won't be in our best 22 every week. We realise that might not be the case, but he's going to put his best foot forward. Every time he goes out there, he will try his guts out. And that's all you can ask. You're going to have your good days, you're going to have your bad days. You have your good runs and your bad runs. On the weekend, he actually did what he did in the reserves. Oh, when he got dropped that week, he probably a little bit stiff to get that dropped against Brisbane, wasn't he? The Brisbane game we won.
Oh, I thought we all thought so.
A little bit stiff. But, you know, Murphy came in that following week. So, look, he was a little bit stiff. But when he went back to the reserves, he didn't drop his bundle. He had 26 touches. I think he kicked a couple, put on about 12 tackles, 10 clearances. Yeah. It was an enormous game, really. I mean, right now, they'd love him in the reserves right now because no one's bringing those sorts of figures. But then on the weekend, my argument with him was I hadn't seen anything like that in the seniors. Well, on the weekend, what do we say about Jack? Like, he's marking. I think he took 10 marks.
Unbelievably.
And he kicked goals. Yeah. They're probably the two aspects.
Wasn't even the best part of his game. There was one other moment of his performance that was better than the marking and the kicking.
Oh, out in the wing there.
Oh, against Hibbard. That the ball awesome. Win against Hibbard.
That was magnificent.
Was just exactly the sort of football you want your footballers to play.
Yeah. Worried him off the ball, SBS snatched it.
Hooked it out the back, got it to... It was just... I could watch that 10 seconds of football. Yeah.
That was like his old man. It was. I don't like comparing, but that one-on-one scrap. The old, when you got the scrap, the old time the say, are in there.
The old time to say was more like Surge than Steve. Because Surge was your classic ruck rover, sort of... slightly oversized ruck rover, and that was more Surge than even Steven, I reckon. I just thought he was, and you know,
there's still plenty of growth there.
He's 21 for God's sake, and he's played 60 games, whatever. And you know, here's the thing, and look, I'm sure we've said this before, the surname carries with it a heap of baggage. You know, the fact that the old man's at the club. You know, cockheads are going to, you know, line those two things up and say what they will. But let's never lose sight. The kid was taken at 53 in the draft. Right now, he is in, if you look at draft picks between 50 and 60 in the history of the national draft, right now he is in, and I'm going to guess here, he would be in the top 10% of performance out of draftees in that deep in the draft. Yeah. Once you get into the 50s in the national draft, it's a shot at the stumps.
Absolutely.
So the fact that Jack Silvani, by 22, has played 60 games and has got now a bedrock of football beneath him that establishes him as a very valuable role-playing list member, it's a win. Forget about anything else. It's just a win. So
those type of players, there'd be a lot of clubs that would like a type of player like himself who can play numerous roles, can go in the midfield, can tag, look, plays up forward, small, tall.
Yep.
Probably, you could probably throw him back from time to time.
Yeah, you could.
I think we want to narrow.
I reckon we just want to narrow.
Oh, I'm just saying, if you're absolutely desperate, if, you know, something happened to Plowman. If something happened to Plowman.
Don't be silly. Don't be coy.
No.
What are you saying?
Well, I'm just saying, if something happened to Plowman.
You want Plowman out of the side. His performance on the weekend was lamentable.
I just can't understand this guy. This guy
his last
is,
quarter was good.
He's
better. It was okay.
Better. Yeah. There was a chance where he should have dived for that ball in the middle, and he stood there and let
the mark,
it bounce.
Mate.
Yeah, he should have gone.
Where was the desperation to take that mark and that high ball in the middle?
That's how he plays, Andy.
I couldn't. That's I was watching. Well, I'm calling the game with Terry Wallace and KB, And we're all just looking at one another going, why?
You can remember that, Gex, in the middle? Like that ball just bounced in front of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he wanted to trap it like that.
He was last one.
And, mate, and that's when the rain had come.
That's when the Hannon, that was the Hannon shot, wasn't it? The one that stopped on the line.
Yes.
I think that was the moment.
Correct.
I think that was
No, it was. It was. So where was the desperation there? Like the other two or three that you mentioned when he launched himself. A
couple of good spoils.
Right? Certainly and look, he beautiful pass into Silvani.
Yeah, that was the stamp board.
But he's a frustrating player, mate. Mm. He's a frustrating player to watch. And you know what? I don't reckon any heat from the competitions come on Lachie Plowman, from any commentators, from any experts. I've never heard them pot him, ever. Oh, I hear a lot of Carlton people pot him.
Yeah, but this is the thing about when you've got a lower ranked team. No, people don't put the blowtorch on poor teams. Mm. They can't be bothered.
Any of the analysis shows. Fair enough.
They don't. I mean, unless you're a premiership contender.
Fair enough.
They're not analysing our back flanker on the 16th or 17th ranked side or 18th ranked side in the comp. They're just not. Okay. They can't be bothered. Like, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I think there's got to be – look, he won't get dropped, but, you know, because Marchbank will be out and I'm not sure Wiedering.
No, Wiedering's. Well, it was a concussion as well as the broken
I'd have to say that, would there be a little bit of concussion in that as well?
Can you explain to me –
it could be a bad one or it could be not a bad one.
What was he doing?
I don't know. No idea.
How do you just run into the back of a bloke's headlight? It's like – I didn't see him there. What the fuck? How do you do that?
It's part of his DNA. I think he just finds a way to get hurt sometimes.
I reckon he's a really composed, spatially aware. I mean, he gets caught with a footy once every 3 or 4 weeks and, you know, whatever. But I thought he had a great, you know. But I watched that again a couple of times on the day when, you know, the game was stopped. You're going to go, well, he's tracking Wiedemann into the contest. Mm. And Wiedemann's about 3 steps to his left.
He mustn't have been watching the player in front of him.
But how do you not know that there's that bloke there? Just know there's someone there.
I know what you're saying. It is strange.
It was a weird one. It was a weird one. But I tell you what, Jesus. You know, I wouldn't. If there's any head, I wouldn't want to run into in the back of his Petrarca's.
Oh, he'd be sick. That's a fair melon just sick. Quietly. You have a look at the votes that we put together this year. I think we all rate Wiedering season really highly you know, in the context of our season.
He's had a reasonably good season. That last quarter, I'm sure people want to hear a little bit about this last quarter. We've talked pretty much about all the negative things. But that last quarter, it showed that you don't necessarily have to have the three talls functioning.
Mm.
Like with Setterfield, went up there, a bit of damage. I know he got...
That was a good...
He was getting his pants pulled down,
Squirtly. Oh, my God.
He was getting his pants pulled down.
He was on Fritch in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And Fritch ran us an absolute
merry down. Fritch very highly. Yeah.
Who's number four? He was responsible for him as well later on. They switched wings and he took him to the cleaners as well.
It was a bit like last week, though, when I highlighted cameos. There were a lot of cameos again.
There was.
And Setters was one of them because he actually got the spotlight in taking responsibility for kicking set shots at goal, which he... Gex, he missed a few easy ones.
He's had 5 shots in basically a quarter.
But he had the torch put on him in clutch this week, and he kicked a couple of goals.
The other one I've got to say, again, not a position I thought he was brought to the club for, was Matthew Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
He's had 6 shots at goal. All right, he's only kicked the 2-4, but he presented.
Mm.
He's actually had 9 shots at goal in 2 weeks.
Oh, I thought he was.
That's a pretty good return. He's only kicked the 4-5. Oh, I understand that you know maybe some of his shots were low percentage, but you know for a guy who also has copped a bit of heat for looking slow and sluggish and not interested and all that sort of stuff, have they found his spot? No idea. But to me, it looks as if he's at least. When he's gone to ground, he's bounced back up again.
Yeah,
he's got a bit of spring.
Yep, yep.
So all of a sudden, he's encouraged me a little bit that he's out of contract.
How many touches did he have on the weekend? 6?
8.
So it was a good 8 possession game. I thought he was in the game, Matthew Kennedy.
2 goals, 4.
From eight shots,
That's
your classic.
I thought he was a little bit greedy with some of those shots. I thought he could have looked for teammates once or twice.
Maybe.
But he definitely has impact factor about him. But where he fits into the scheme of things,
I don't know.
I'm still very confused.
Oh, look, I am too. But at least now we've seen that he is not just necessarily in inverted commas, an inside mid, because he may not be an inside mid.
The other worrying stat was zero tackles as well.
By him?
My image of Kennedy is that he should be a rat. You know, he should be
When he plays in the middle, he does that. But for whatever reason, just this week, you're saying? He didn't have tackles?
Just on the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, probably the ball wasn't in there for long enough. Time in forward half.
Yeah, yeah.
Time in forward half was unbelievable. I put down a stat here of time in forward half. Melbourne had something like, it was 68% to like 32% for most of the day. Hence, they had a lot more tackles inside 50 than what we did.
They definitely had better structure than us. Yeah. They held it in. They set up beautifully behind the ball.
Yeah.
And we fell into that trap the way we used it as well.
Gibbons hadn't done a hell of a lot. Kicked a magnificent goal from the boundary line.
Cameo.
Hey,
listen, Centerfield and Murphy, one of the positives you take out of the second half, and the final quarter in particular, but the second half, I reckon, was... I don't know what you thought of their first halves, but they were awful, the two of those boys.
Who's that?
Murphy and Setterfield in the first half were dreadful. Jordan Lewis not embarrassed Mark Murphy, but had him covered in the first half.
Yeah.
Murphy's second half was fantastic.
It was.
And Setterfield, for a bloke who'd had three touches to half time and had been absolutely destroyed, they couldn't find a place to put him to make him have any sort of positive impact on it. His second half was fantastic.
Yep.
So, you know, you look at the overall and you go, we had nothing and we should have won. We shouldn't have been that close and all this. But then you go, these blokes actually dug in for the fight. Last year, they're 35 up at halftime against, they win by 100 points.
They actually beat us by 109.
That
was a record margin, Melbourne versus us. Like, there's improvement.
The fact that we fought and fought and fought and just held in the third quarter, just sort of half started squaring a bit more and then got lucky with the injury toll that had been sustained by them. But individuals within the team.
Well, we copped injury too, Andy.
Yeah, we did. Well,
Cruiser for 20 minutes and Weeder in the whole last quarter.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Not as bad as them.
But our coach actually allowed us to have, he enforced 88 rotations for the game compared to 67 to Melbourne. So there's an extra 21 rotations. Yeah. That has to add up for something.
We were going mad in the last quarter. We were rolling two and three on at a time.
Absolutely.
Give them 3 minute spells and get them back out there. And there's no doubt they. The other thing I loved, and he didn't have a great game.
Caleb Marchbank?
Oh, no. Well, you can talk about it. Lockie O'Brien, see the way he stood up. When Wiedemann came at him.
The body line tackle was great.
I don't reckon he would have done that 6 weeks ago.
I really liked it too. I had that highlighted in what I was watching.
I reckon he would have found a way to just get his body and try to arm tackle him.
Nah, it was big.
Yeah,
it was
the bike's twice big. His size and he stood there.
One that he got the 50 and kicked the goal? No,
it was the one that got the goal square.
You know, when they were going to get a certain goal.
Oh, certain goal.
O'Brien
just stood in. Wiedemann was just going to run in if he wasn't.
He stood there and stopped him in his tracks.
If you're not getting past me.
Squeezed the handball out, but he still stood.
And then they missed. Harms sort of squeezed it out to the right and missed the sort of crummy. But it was. I don't reckon he does that 6 or 7 weeks ago, Lockie O'Brien.
Well, the last 3 weeks he's been pivotal in the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Yep.
Which, you know, you wouldn't have said that a while ago.
No. So again.
But you're right. He didn't have a good game, numbers wise. But again, like Gecko says,
not many did. Well, numbers were low.
Well, I just want to highlight Caleb Marchbank. I didn't think he had a great game myself.
He impacted a great deal.
I didn't think he did. But we find out he's got a neck.
Some sort of vertebrae issue.
Yeah, but you know when that happened?
In the last 10 seconds of the game, basically.
No. He got one.
It wasn't the one at the start. It was one at the end.
No.
He got one late.
It was the end of the third.
It was one of the
got the knee in the back of the neck. I've seen it today.
Yeah, there were two. He got two.
Did he?
Yeah, there were definitely
two. Was that the push in the back you're talking about?
It was in the last 20 seconds of the game.
There was one okay. really
I thought,
one
I, thought, I thought he copped a knee to the
he
back of the head
because I was late in the third.
And he was in all sorts. And he was limping early in the game. So I was a little bit vicious on him on the day because I didn't think he brought a lot of impact at all. But watching the replay again today, like he put himself in the fire at least three or four times in that last quarter. And he, okay, well, it mightn't have been the one that we're talking about, but whatever it was, he was battered and bruised.
Yeah, he
was. And he still put himself in the fire. I thought his last quarter was admirable, given the fact that perhaps he had that problem when I thought it was, but might not have been.
What we saw in the last quarter, this is the dilemma for me, because we saw the same thing last week. We only seem to achieve our potential weaponry when all players on the field are giving an even performance.
Yeah. When everyone's contributing?
When everybody's is giving 70%+ at the same time.
We're a big chance.
We tend to play well and can conquer whoever we're up against.
But you get 7, 8, 9 of them down.
The problem is, for large parts of the game, usually at the start of matches,
which is happening of
when
late,
the heat is on, when the contest is meant to be won and lost and the momentum's taken
what's
one
happening?
Way or the other, we can't bring
this is 4 weeks in a row
that type of effort at the start or significant parts of games until whatever reason we just click a switch later in the game. I don't know what's going on or how to.
Well, it needs to be rectified, obviously. And it was talked about before the match. Well, look, quarter time was only a couple of goals of difference. Half time, worrying signs. Late in the third, 38 points down. That's game over.
Game over.
That's game over, generally speaking. 38 points down, that's game over.
So do you reckon it comes down to leadership in midfield? Is it as simple as something like
that? Well, our midfield was non-existent. Our midfield was not, it was putrid, putrid. And we've said it countless times tonight. We should not have been in the game half-time, three-quarter time, but we were. Maybe it's the opposition. Maybe the opposition are that poor at the moment that they allowed us through the door. Had we have played, oh, I don't know, Richmond, and we allowed them to play like this mob did, perhaps, you know, that 38 might have been 58 and would have been shut the gate. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure, but it's 4 weeks in a row, Andy. Yeah, it's four weeks in a row. We've got five goals, six goals down. But
it's not sustainable to
Of course not.
Week.
Of course not. It's not a good habit to get into. It's a good trait to have that you at least run games out. Mm. Now, is that a Russell factor? Is it Teague helping them with moving the deck chairs a little bit? Is it their will and their want to actually finish games off now as opposed to weeks ago?
Well, it's probably a bit of all of that. You know, I mean, the systematic growth of, you know, aerobic capacity and strength and all of that sort of stuff, that's going to keep coming with a group of players that still has a team that still has a lot of young players in it.
Yep.
And if Andrew Russell is the guru that everyone says he is, then we'll be 10% better this year than we were last. We'll be a percentage better this year in that area than we were last year. We'll be another percentage better next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. That is a growth area that will improve as every year goes by.
If we don't cop injuries
to
blokes who keep getting
injured. Well, that's right. Yeah.
So assuming we have the same midfield.
By the way, we've still got a lot of work to do on our list.
I want to make that perfectly clear to people listening who think our list is absolutely finalised and cherry ripe.
No.
Please, guys, that is absolute bunkum. Bunkum.
No.
We have to put pressure on the current crop to get a game, let alone think that they're the ones going forward.
Which there's not a lot of pressure from underneath at the moment. We'll speak about them later on.
Well, we've probably got how many of our best 22 on the weekend were unavailable for selection?
Maybe five?
Five?
Maybe five.
Five of our best 22?
Oh, Cunningham.
Mackay, Curno, Cunningham, Tommy Williamson.
Cripps.
Cripps.
That's about.
Is that about it?
Did you say Doherty?
Oh, Doherty. Shit, six.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. That's about the crux of it, right? So, playing at the moment in the reserves, I don't see a lot pushing up at the moment. Goddard will come in this week.
He'll play this week.
He'll play this week, Goddard. He's been in great form.
And good on him. He deserves it.
I don't know. Look, the one knock on him, I do know, the one knock, the only knock, is leg speed.
He's not quick.
He's not quick, but he's a good mark and he's a good kick. Mm. Leg speed at the SCG might not be a huge
What are they going to throw? There's still factor. No Franklin, so who are they going to throw at us? They're going to relatively Haywood,
Papley.
We've got to
think long and hard with matchups.
I don't know. Well, no, perhaps it's not going to be him. I don't know. But look, Shoemaker was okay. DeLuca's an interesting one. DeLuca's an interesting one.
Yep.
People are not going to like how he kicks the ball, his ball drop, but 20 in his first week and 24 in his second week.
There's one thing you can do.
It's tough as nails. Yep. I know the reserves captain said he'll be very happy to come back and play with him next year. He's given him a fair rap.
Could you see him getting a game this year in the seniors?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
there's plenty of guys who aren't getting the stats required for midfield at the
That's
minute.
Right.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So it poses that, a question. Yes. And
can he cover the ground okay?
Yep.
Okay, well, so tick that box.
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
Yeah, you said dirty ball. Like,
it's the ball drop that people are going to be horrified with.
The days of having lace out delivery, you know, how many goals a week are kicked by pure, you know, stream through midfield, forward hits up, ball drop, mark, bang, turnaround, goal. You might kick, I reckon in modern football, again, no stats on this, but I reckon as many goals are kicked from broken play as they are from pure, beautiful, beautifully constructed football.
So sometimes
if you've got a bloke who can just get it in there, it's up to the forwards.
My problem is the plus or minus margin for getting it in there. It's like getting it in there within 3 metres of the guy you're trying to kick it to, or within 10 metres or 15 metres of the guy you're trying to kick it to.
The problem is once it's in there, you've got to be able to make a contest.
He's worked
a contest when it's in there.
He's worked very, very hard, and that was the one knock, and I think that's the knock that he got for getting the arse at
Freo.
And he's gone back and worked very, very hard on that very –
We'll wait and see.
But see, like, there's going to be obviously Marchbank's out. Wiedering might be out. So that's two tools. So we're thinking Goddard and maybe someone else, maybe Shoemaker. I'm not quite sure. I want to speak about two blokes who didn't have good games is Darcy Lang and Paddy Dow. Would you think that either one of those two would be in line for, like, to be dropped?
Yeah, I think Paddy Dow's ready for a spell.
I thought Lang played ordinarily for three quarters, but I thought his last quarter he actually lifted and
he put three balls in for the game and they all resulted in goals.
Don't you have to, now that he's fit, don't we have to let this bloke?
I think he's in the category of you've got to give him a bit of a
You've got to leave him in the side for a while.
Yeah, that's I'm putting things up.
Two goal assists.
Well, I'd go as far as to say it was three, personally. I'm pretty sure it was three.
And he tackled, I'm
leaving him in.
He got in the scrum, he got some hard ball, tackled well, and got off some nice handball in that last quarter.
Well, he'd want to get his hands on it a bit more, that's all. Yeah, that's all.
Ole.
Yeah, so look, he was one. Paddy Dow, so you reckon Paddy Dow's in line for a spell?
At the moment, they seem to be reluctant to play him, you know, through the middle
of the
game. In the
guts, yeah. He's played a lot more up forward, actually, the last 2 weeks. He's only had one shot.
He's just not getting enough of the footy at the moment. I just think he needs either a week off or just go back in the mid, just get back down the twos, have a run around, get 25 touches and just get the feel of the leather again.
Then the other bloke that they might look at who is not exactly a person that we
like all that much, but his last 2 weeks for Salah
You've been trying to get him in the side for 3 weeks now. You've been trying to get him in the side for 3 weeks.
You're an idiot.
That's true. You've been quietly talking him up.
Not at all.
And right now, if you were the chairman of selectors, you would have him in the side 3 weeks ago. And good, no, you're good. If he's going well enough, play him. I've got no problems with that.
I'm asking the question. I think he's turned a little bit of a corner.
He's turned
a little bit of a corner.
Dow out. No problems.
Lair eyes a little bit in the reserves on the weekend, but he's getting the pill. But that's reserve level.
I mark him super hard on one thing now, because I've seen him do it in every game that he's played, the three games he's played for us.
Losing his feet.
He goes to ground. As soon as he doesn't get the footy, he lunges at the bloke. Mm. Oh, desperate attempt.
I think he's got a few skeletons in the closet, and that's what I look for too.
Oh, mate, he does not want to keep his feet.
The other thing is set shot routines. Like, he's got a real thing about not having set shots in games.
He wheels around.
And that's fine if you can,
I don't know why they're doing it.
But sometimes there's a time and a place where you just have to take that shot.
Oh, look, I think he's worthy of, you know, David Teague said they will reward blokes who are going okay at reserve level. I think he's going okay at reserve level.
Well, if it's deemed that Dow needs a spell, he's been playing sort of, you know, almost exclusively small forward the last couple of weeks.
There's got to be a role for him to select him. That's
for Solo? Yeah, of course.
You got to if there is a role to be played and he's the type, then maybe he can be selected.
Maybe, yeah. And you're wrong, Andy. I'm not kicking up for him.
It's good. No, it's fine. I'm not having a go. If you reckon he's worth a roll of the dice, then go your hardest and say it. The one thing about the Sydney backline is that they do start a lot of their offense from deep in defense. So you've got to have accountable forwards.
Mm.
You know, Lloyd and
I don't think he's not that player.
No, therefore,
you know, that denigrates what we're saying.
Well, actually, you say to him, okay, we're going to bring you in.
But that's what we're looking at. You need to show.
It's not just about hitting the scoreboard.
Yep.
You need to make sure that when it's your turn, you put a bit of pressure on.
Mm. Mind you, I think there's three big guns who are going to come back.
For us,
I'd say.
Yeah.
H. Cripps and Cunningham.
Blake was trying to tell me the other day.
Not Cunners.
Oh.
I heard he was a chance.
His knee's still not right.
Oh, well, I got told the other. Blake was trying to tell me the other day that Cripps has got a broken toe. It's not just a sore foot, it's actually a broken toe. He
can't possibly play that.
No. So I don't know why they wouldn't tell us that. So that's what I said. Like, well, why wouldn't they tell us that?
Broken toe or turf toe?
Broken toe. Is what I what the bloke told me.
You can't come back after 2 weeks if it's broken.
No. Unless it's your little toe, you just cut it off.
Just cut it off.
Cut the thing off, mate. Most useless part of your body, the little toe.
Crippage. Honestly, just cut it off.
Other than getting a bit of tinea in between, what the fuck is your little toe there for?
No idea.
What does it do?
No idea.
Honestly, give me one good reason why we have little toes.
I'll tell you why. I know the reason why.
Go on.
Because when your little toenail grows long and I'm lazy to get the scissors to cut it, right? I just pick it with my finger, right, and I always bleed.
The outside of it, that little bit on the outside? It's a nightmare.
It's a shocker.
Yeah, no, the little toes are pain in the ass.
And so what I do is...
Apologies if you're eating at home, by the way.
True. But what I do then is I get a hammer and I hit my big toe, right?
And it takes the pain away.
It takes the pain away from my little toe.
Good work, yeah.
And then you have a whiskey to kill both pains.
If anybody can explain to me the value of a little toe, send it through on our Twitter account at the Carlton Show.
What's a little toe? You want someone to send you a little toe?
No. What the benefit of a little toe is?
Some lunatic who will cut their little toe off and send it to
couple
you.
Of bashes, oh, mate. A couple of badges,
yeah, exactly,
mate, on
Andy.
Twitter.
Yeah, be careful.
No, I'm not asking for that.
Just a quick stat, those of you who like stats out there. First quarters in the last 4 weeks, 4 goals, 11 we've scored. Last quarters, 19 goals, 13.
Really?
Say that again.
First quarters, in the last month, we've scored a total of 4 goals, 11.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
And our last quarters.
19-13.
Beautiful. If we can only reverse the polarity, as Batman would
Thanks, Bucky,
say,
for that one.
If we could reverse the polarity, as Batman would say.
Yeah.
Ipso changeo, we'd be laughing.
Oh, we'll still get beaten, though.
Probably.
Yeah. We'll be 30 up at half time, three quarter time. We'll get overrun. Have you done everything you want to do from the game? Because there's something I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, I just thought in the last quarter we gained a lot of run and intensity, produced short kicks, handball, created space. That to me was the last quarter in a nutshell.
Got outside.
I saw. Yep. And I was begging for it throughout the day. And I think I said to you throughout the day, we're kicking far too long down the line. Dumb footy. Really dumb footy.
Without the big men, we had no one to get out with.
So why were they doing it? And Frost was picking us off. Bruce was picking us off.
It was the same thing when Melbourne had forward.
May a little bit, with the fist. Yeah.
When Melbourne had it locked into their forward line for long periods of time and they set up behind the ball, it was just as equally stupid for us to get the ball and just quick kick, quick hand.
Yeah, that happened. It was about seven in a row at one stage.
That's insanity. That's the definition of insanity.
Well,
the reason for your thing and the reason for what I've just said is what I've been saying all year. They don't get the fundamentals taught and drilled to them enough. From what I've seen as a whole picture, they should automatically know that you go to the defensive side of stoppage to relieve pressure and then you set up the ball back and across or find a short.
I didn't think they did
with
enough.
Someone in time and space, but they never, they don't do it by default.
I think those errors that they made early almost got them into backwards mindset.
They're all interrelated.
I can't make another mistake.
Yes.
I just can't make another mistake.
And that's the frustration.
The coach says, take risks, boys, make good decisions, try to, complete them. If you don't, I'm not going to berate you. Well, that's what he says. So why aren't you, taking
a few
risks? Last
quarter was all about risk taking.
Absolutely.
If we can take away those unforced errors that we constantly do to ourselves, that's the first stage.
Yep. Yep.
Then we're not killing ourselves. Yeah. Then you can start thinking about playing the game the way we're talking about.
Well, what Teague said was, I let the game tell me a story and I'll make the moves accordingly. It was just beautifully put. Mm. It's lovely to hear a coach say, I'm watching it. It's telling me a story and I'll, put some commas and question marks and sort of, all those things that you put in
so
paragraphs.
Was Chris Judd out of line on Monday night on Classified?
Well, if the information's correct that Kane Little has turned around and said that, you better tell people
he said that we're looking for a senior coach. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to say too much. We're not going to play it out by the media. And then he says,
we're not having anyone with training wheels.
We want an experienced coach. We don't want a coach who's still got the training wheels on. So in other words, see you later, David.
See you, David Teague. Every other assistant out there. Yeah. So naturally, you're thinking to yourself, oh, okay. So we're looking for. The four or five that we all know. Hmm. Yep. And that's it.
I personally find that bizarre. And if anybody in the universe of AFL football can tell me they know the recipe that gives you success simply by appointing a coach and which coach and how that possibly works with a completely different set of 42 individuals from one place to the next and you just resume success there, you're kidding yourself because it is all voodoo. Mm. It is all chemistry. It is all so many variables in the mix you cannot possibly quantify or predict what is going to happen. So if anyone thinks Parco is going to be the Clarko is going to be the solution,
it could be, but he mightn't be.
Well, where's Hawthorn on the ladder?
No idea. Yeah, where are they?
That's it.
He's now got
42 average individuals.
Of course, mate.
Compared
it's
to the four or five champions he's
players
always had.
Players make good coaches. Don't if anybody ever thinks anything other than that, they've got dead set rocks in
so
their
So what
head.
I'd love to hear from the likes
Doggies
of
when they
of
won
Juddy.
With Beveridge?
Well, they had a gun midfield, and they did have Beveridge had a significant role to play in that because of a momentary system that of play.
But they only caught 5 for 6 weeks.
Well, that's all you need to do. Well, Well, that's not exactly fair because
How they won the flag.
That had to be in the final. So you know they did all the hard work to get there.
They won from sixth or something.
Yeah, they did, but you know, but they still played a certain way.
What I'd like to hear from the likes of Juddy and the whoever is on the coaching panel is what their criteria is. That's what I want.
Well, he basically said his criteria was a senior coach.
That's not
that's
enough.
His criteria.
It's been laid out. I mean,
Little's come out and apparently said that we're not discounting anyone.
Yeah. So he's gentle reprimand of the bloke on the subcommittee, who also happens to be a board member of the football club. In other words, Chris Judd, what he said is not the view shared by the club. And in other words, Juddy, good luck to you having a media role, but if you're on the subcommittee to elect a coach at Carlton and you're not going to play it out through the media, don't play it out through the media.
Well, I was told by a certain person who's on that selection committee that it will not be played through the media.
Well, he made a blue the other night then, so he shouldn't have been saying anything about it. That's okay. I mean, we'll wait and see.
It's not his go to say something. So
I never thought that he'd be a media performer anyway, to be honest. I never thought in his playing. I always thought he was a bit ambivalent about this sort of space. In fact, I didn't think he was
smarter than one of those players.
Yeah,
have you got any idea, Gex, who...
No, none whatsoever.
You would want
To me, it's voodoo. It's all witch doctory. Yeah. And I have simply... If anyone can tell me the formula for
success... I wouldn't have a clue. Listen,
we sacked a bloke. We sacked a bloke who still had a year to go on his contract. And the year we sacked him, he'd had 11 wins and we won our last two games. And we sacked him.
Mm. Yeah, I know you've got to burn your bonnet on.
Well,
that
it's but you
I
know,
was, I'm going to reiterate that I was on that.
Yeah, because we won five of our first six that year, and everybody got ahead of themselves. That was a problem that year.
No, I can't remember exactly, but I'm a bit like Gex. I was in the affirmative to.
What would you give for a? It doesn't matter. We won't even bother. But we haven't been sensible with our appointment of. We were sensible with the Bolton appointment.
Of course. So who else was going to take this side, knowing that we go to the draft for 3 years and it was going to be a 5 to 7 year rebuild? I'll tell you now, no senior coach was going to come to Carlton 3.5 years ago and say, yeah, I've got 7 years, no dramas. You can go for your life. We'll go to the draft and I've got all the time in the world. Mm. I don't think so.
Sort of shits you a bit, doesn't it? That, you know, there's some... there's some coach out there who's maybe thinking for one reason or another timing's right for him to make a move and that, all the hard work's been done at Carlton. I'll come in and I'll polish it off and, you know, I'll cherry pick that job.
If that's what the incoming person's thinking, he's got rocks in his head too, because we have way more layers to fix up with this list. And there's certain blokes who are not going to be on this list at the end of the year. They might have an opinion about a few others. And, you know, there's going to be retirements. So there are way more layers to this list than what people think. And the incoming coach has got a massive job to harness the list that he's got, the talent that he's got.
And to mold it in his image, basically.
One thing about past couple of weeks probably been a bit dismissive of Teague as an option. And the only thing I should allow myself to be mindful of is, and I'm just speaking out loud here, I'm having a stream of consciousness with you two blokes, but, you know, I reckon I don't know whether he's got the flying hours up at the moment. That's the one concern I've got. And yet he won a BNF at the club. He has coached his own team. He's had experience in multiple AFL environments. He does seem extremely comfortable in the role. Like, he doesn't seem flustered, rattled. He's extremely composed.
I can't find as many negatives as positives.
No, that's right.
By a long way.
Yeah. It's going to sound pretty stupid, but if he was 3 or 4 years older and had just been doing it for a bit longer, I might. But how old was Clarkson when he took over at Hawthorn? Was he late 30s, early? Was he about the same age as David Teague? I don't know. Look, maybe.
Andy, I'll say is that when Rocket Eade was given the arse at the Sydney Swans, the interim coach was Paul Roos. They put Paul Roos into that position.
Yep.
Now, he was not supposed to be the coach come the end of the year.
No, Terry Wallace had the job.
Is that right?
Oh, it's absolutely. So
I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Roosie went coaching for 10 games.
Yep.
And they went 6-4.
Yep. And they put him in.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Terry had the job.
So what credentials did Paul Roos have then that automatically made him the coach at the end of the year, apart from the fact that the players loved him and it was 6-4 and that sort of stuff. I mean, he obviously had to learn a bit more about coaching, obviously.
Mm.
But where do you start? You start from coaching your own side. Teague's had, like you said, the Northern
Bulldogs,
right? Yep. He was coached under Dennis Pagan?
Won a BNF under Pagan.
Yeah, he brought him to Carlton.
Yep.
At North and at Carlton?
Probably, yeah.
And then did, who took over Pagan?
Rats, didn't he?
Oh, I'm no good at that stuff.
Wayne Britton, when did he leave?
No, he was, prior. Brits was before Pagan.
Okay, so it might have been Ratton. Yeah, sorry, it was Ratton. What am I talking about? Of course it was Ratton. So it was Teague still there under Ratton? I mean, like, you know,
He's been to Adelaide. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. He's had the Adelaide experience.
That's what I'm saying. He's been through a couple of AFL systems. So.
I know you were joking last week that you said, Baz, you love him and all the rest of it. I do.
No, I do,
but I just want them to have the conversation.
Yeah, I'm not.
I want them to have the conversation with the bloke at the end of the year and say, you know, what can you actually bring to the table, mate? You know, what do you feel about this list? What's your intentions? Why you? Basically, why you?
There is something to be said for a coach growing with the list. There's something about that, you know, that is worth thinking about.
That's all I'm asking.
Is this coach
capable? All I'm asking
is
for them to have the thought process that you can't just say, this is our, I know, Gex, you're saying, what is their criteria? And look, if their criteria is, we want a senior coach, well then, unfortunately, he's cooked his
And course. Hey, listen, let's not for one second. I'm not saying, look, what Kane Little has said, I haven't seen what he said, so I'm. But
no, neither have I.
If what Kane Little has said is to
pour a bit of cold water
well,
on
yeah,
it.
Well, yeah, what Chris Judd said is probably what the thinking is, I would think.
Well, if he's on the committee, I would think.
He's let the cat out of the bag. You know, that's so. Yeah. Anyway, we'll wait
anyway,
see.
Look, mate, we've got another 7 weeks or so,
right.
and like Gecko says, you know, good luck. If you think the incoming coach is just automatically going to deliver you a flag, you got rocks in.
Disappointing VFL. The girls went up to the Alice or to Territory. I think they went to Alice Springs. They're 3.5 goals up with a quarter to play, playing outstanding footy by all reports. And then just put the Q in the rack.
I think Moody was playing well.
Well, I've said what I said about it.
I wonder what factor the weather had then.
I don't know, maybe. But they've been run over and lost a high-scoring game against the Northern Territory, so disappointing.
Sarah Hoskin back in the fray, I heard she played a good game.
Yeah, disappointing. Really disappointing they didn't. You know, four points are bloody valuable. You know, they're right in the mix, but they could get in the mix, but they're just not. They're letting games slide at the moment. They should have had an extra two or three wins on the board.
Who's the new forward option that's been – the smaller forward option that's been leading up and taking some
not an AFLW Bromwich list to play. Yeah, Bromwich. Yeah.
She looks like a likely type.
Yeah, she's going right.
Is she a chance to be picked up on a list? Or
I'll have to get to a game. I haven't been to a game yet.
Yep.
I'll have to get to a
game.
I'll
go down to most of them. So,
I'm disappointed I haven't been able to go yet. But,
well, if you can, that's great.
They started off poorly, didn't they, in the first few couple of games?
Yep,
and then they've actually hit back.
Yep,
I mean,
yep,
so there's improvement. At least.
Oh, no, they're mirroring the AFLW season. You saw the – I didn't go to
the VFL. Did you watch it as well, Gixon?
I watched
it. Did you live stream it?
Yeah.
Oh, look, mate, they're bloody disappointed at the moment.
That's a disappointment.
Really, really – another loss to another side around them on the ladder.
Mm.
You know, half-time,
Another pattern emerging there with them too, you know. Like, they're in it up to their ears. They seem to be competing well, and then they drop off the ledge, the cliff face.
This has happened probably the last 5 weeks in a row with them. Now, obviously, they're missing their captain. They're obviously missing Frank Anderson. He must be injured. He can't. He's not getting a game.
Very strange.
Yep.
Worrying signs with Paddy Kerr too, I reckon.
Very.
I haven't heard much from Paddy Kerr's side of the fence for a while. What's going on there?
Is
there dissension in the ranks? Is he just not in good form?
Okay. His last month's been pretty poor. Pretty poor. He had some good moments in the first probably half a dozen weeks. Not enough to break through in a side that had Harry Mackay, Charlie and
McGovern.
Harry is not in there at the moment. Charlie's not in the moment. And Mitch McGovern is, well, you know, he's not playing well.
Mm.
And he'd be saying, well, okay, well, I should be getting a game. But Paddy, your last month has stunk. Has absolutely stunk.
Bad timing, really.
Terrible. Had he been playing well, absolutely he gets a game. No doubt about it. But for whatever reason, he just hasn't bought his A game. And
I started the season so well. Strange.
Fear he's not contracted. And I would fear that you don't want to say too much, you know, 6 or 7 weeks out, but he'd want to bring his A game in the next 7 weeks.
No, look, he might.
But you know what?
We're having a chat here. I don't know, Paddy, but Paddy Kerr might be thinking, you know what? I did enough in the first 8-9 weeks of the year to put myself up for selection. When the opportunity arose, they didn't pick me. I'm out of contract. I don't know whether I'm AFL standard. You know, maybe he's starting to ask those questions about himself. And if he is, and he's thinking, listen, I'll just go and do something else with my life. He's a smart kid. He's a good young man. He's a high quality character from what I can tell. I wouldn't say I know him, but I think he's a really decent young man. He might now be thinking, I'll just go and play footy. Play with my mates. St. Kevin's in the Ammos.
Yeah, it's possible.
I'll get a job, you know. Why bust my ass? And you know, this is the other thing, like chasing the dream at this level. It's not everybody's bag.
He's
at his go. Like Tom Boyd's happy as Larry going out and playing in the Eastern District somewhere now.
If Carlton didn't give him a contract, you know, maybe someone is looking for that type of player. But I'll tell you one thing. Anyone who thinks hitouts is a good stat, and if you win hitouts, you win games. Have a listen to this for a stat in the VFL between Lobie and Phillips.
Righto, we're listening.
Northern Blues hitouts.
There you go.
71.
71, eh?
71. Casey, 20.
Didn't make much difference, did it?
Well, why are you bringing that up?
Because it makes no difference.
What about hitouts to advantage?
Phillips got reported and suspended.
He got a week, yep.
Nah, not interested in hitouts. That's probably one of the very many stats I take no notice of.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Yeah.
The King kicked possibly one of the VFL goals of the year.
Yeah. It was a ripper. Absolute ripper.
We can get him. Just get him in for the hell of it. I want to see him in before. So do I.
And I'll tell you, Casey played much like their senior side. 61 inside 50s. Kicked 11-19. And we went in 37 times and kicked 11-6. They've been shocking, mate. And you know what? They're only 2 points outside the eight. And now, they've got some tough games coming up. I reckon they're paddling.
Okay. Votes from the weekend. I'll go. Do you want me to go first? By the way, Lukey caught up last week. Does a magnificent job.
Oh, unbelievable. Just we gave him a huge job to do. But we gave him two weeks of votes.
You should fire this. In fact, you give your votes off. What he did, he answered some questions from a couple of
Yeah, like a couple what you've been sort of analysed what
the individual votes,
individual
given?
Votes, how many votes you've given, oh, I've given, and yeah. Andy's given.
Wow.
Yeah, you give the give the least amount, 302.
Yeah, I'm a bit tougher, probably.
No, nothing wrong with that. You stick to your guns. And I think you, does Gecko lean a bit too much? Someone leans too much towards SPS. Might be me.
Here we go.
I can't remember.
We had so Lukey Ryan under the at the Carlton Show BNF. That's the thing, whatever you call it. We had a question from a great listener. So he's doing his own material now on Twitter, Lukey, which is good. Dennis Robson, about the number of votes last year versus the votes this year.
I think his name's Dennis Robertson.
Well, Robeson, but fair enough. You go with Robertson. After 14 games, I can reveal that 46 more votes have been cast this year than last year. So this year, collectively, we've cast 971 votes compared to 925 last year. If you're interested to know how the guys have voted this year, Andy Maher has dished out, that's me, has dished out 323 votes. Baz, who just falls in love with everyone, 346 votes. And you, Gex, 302. Individually, Baz and me have both voted Cripps, Walsh, SPS, our top three so far this year. And your top three is Cripps, Walsh, Wietering. That's your three individual votes so far this year.
Yeah, that is
so there
interesting.
You go.
Yeah, definitely. Nice.
There you go. That's the sort of stuff you get on Twitter if you're just bored into 2009.
I actually, Gex.
But you continue to enjoy living in 1984.
Yeah.
Have you got your votes?
Yep. Have you given yours?
I was buying time.
On the three, on our behalf, I did offer if he wanted to come in round 23 and do the votes live with us. But I think he lives out in the country somewhere. So he said, look, I will leave it to you three professionals. But it would have been interesting.
Professionals in inverted commas.
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, subscribe to us. And if you feel that way inclined, give us a review. We haven't done – the reviews have been – there's 546 reviews.
I can't even find them. I don't know how to find them.
I'll show you. Get Fiona to show you. But if you do want to subscribe and if you like the show, give it a little rap. And if you want to give it 4 or 5 stars, don't let us get in the way. Because if you do that – and we got into the top 10 last year.
I know.
Last week. We got up to number 8.
Was it really 8?
Like top 200.
That's amazing.
Top 200 Sport Rec. On either side of us, you won't know these names. But on either side of us was Bill Simmons, Stephen A. Smith, Ryan Rosillo.
Who are those
guys? Massive American podcasts.
You're talking about top 8
in Australia.
International podcasts.
Yeah, but these are international podcasts being listened to in Australia.
Jesus.
But these are guys who have got the backing of ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
What have we got the backing of?
Stuff all. Why can't anyone sponsor this show?
I'll tell you what. When we start.
Number 8 in Australia, sponsor it. We'll stick your logo.
I'll get a tattoo. Heading north, I'm telling you what. Those people are within reach.
They do come in.
We're coming.
They jump on.
We're coming big time.
I personally can't understand why we're not number 1.
I'm tipping we won't be number 8. Top 10 this week. But anyway. Votes.
That's just because of wins and losses. Is that what you're saying?
That's just what he said. Were you listening?
I didn't hear him.
4 votes, Jack Silvani. 3 votes, Kerno, Walsh, Casbolt. 2 votes, Cruiser, Setterfield. 1 vote, Newman, Thomas, Kennedy, Murphy. That's it for me.
Yeah, very, very close. I went Jack 4, his best game by a long way. Fantastic to see the Silvani name up there. Ed Kerno, 3, Cruiser, 3, Levi, 3, Walsh, 2, Murphy, 2, Kennedy, 2, Setterfield, Thomas, and Newman, all 1.
We voted exactly the same blokes, like absolutely the same blokes who got votes in slightly different configuration.
Well, Newman would have got a hell of a lot more without those 7 clangers.
Yep, I'm with you. If he just tidies up his ball use, he becomes elite.
Was he better than that at Sydney, Andy? I can't. Newman? Yeah.
He didn't have as big a role under the spotlight as he has with us. I think he's got a lot more responsibility.
He gets more of the footy.
Yeah. Is he now become a bit of a designated kicker? Yeah, like his exit clearly, kick? Yeah.
And he likes
them.
He needs to fucking start hitting.
Many of them.
He needs to start hitting.
I had about 8 question marks who I was considering giving votes to, but because of the 3 quarters preceding the last, I decided not to. So I've gone to the lower side of voting.
Well, that's in keeping with Luke Ryan's statistical analysis.
Par for the course.
Three votes each to Walsh and Soss. I think Walsh's leadership values when the game was there to be sort of swayed, I think he just gave pushed me to give him three votes. Two votes each to Murph, Ed, Cruz and Levi. And one vote each to SBS Plowman I gave for some of the individual things that he did do in the last quarter, which I know will shock the crap out of you. But I just thought he stood up a little bit in the last quarter when it was...
You're right, Andy.
I'm sorry.
He's on drugs.
Andy, you're right, Andy.
And one...
you're going bad, right? Vote,
what, my glasses are fogged up.
And one vote each to Setterfield and Jones as well. I'm just, again,
you've lost your
I
mind.
Put a lot of weight in the last quarter.
You've dead set lost your mind.
And I
it's
know.
A four-quarter game.
It's insane. It's insane.
Look, before we go.
Direct all correspondence. In fact, I'm going to give you his mobile number
Gecko.
Right now. I don't want to hear from you.
Gex,
this is Gecko's mobile number.
You know, you have
number.
Just given me a week of hell.
It just
because on Twitter,
Gecko,
they are going to absolutely slam that living Jesus out of you. And I'm going to be there going, Gex, he's all right. He knows what he's talking about.
Stick up for me.
0412 714.
No,
what?
Do not dare do that.
Honestly.
You idiot.
I'm going to be in for this. Oh, my God.
Donald Trump gave out some bloke's mobile phone number during the election campaign.
Who are you comparing Donald Trump to?
Yeah, you.
Anyone in the room?
Donald who?
You. Me. Yeah.
Donald
comparing
who?
Comparing me to Donald Trump.
0412 714 1 3.
Idiot.
I only know one good Donald. That's Donald Duck.
Go on, give me your impersonation. You can't do it. You can't do it anymore.
He's about two beers away.
Yeah.
Anything
just
else?
Just before we go, we forgot to speak about something briefly. Not so briefly, but Kenny Hunter.
Oh, going back to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you're right.
We forgot to acknowledge the fact that the another great number nine that we've had at our club.
Greg Towns.
Greg Towns. Blood nut.
Yeah.
Greg Towns. What do you have? Not having a go at Greg Towns, are you? Super player, Greggy Towns.
Yeah, he was solid.
Tough.
Yeah, no. Good.
You can't remember him, can you?
Of course I can remember. He was ginger, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just when you think of courageous.
On and off the field.
I was just going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth.
He battled a long battle with depression.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that, but.
Very interesting story.
Many years afterwards.
I think he's been interviewed about that.
He's been quite open.
Oh, he spoke fantastic on the night too, I think.
Oh, he was brilliant.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. You know, well done to Kenny. That's an amazing feat to be a Hall of Famer in the AFL. You know,
how that body carried him through
incredible.
The sort of football he played for
incredible.
So long.
Incredible. He came over with the buzz, didn't he? The same time with the buzz?
Same year. Did he come over a bit before Pizzasto or the same year?
About the same, but they certainly lifted our spirits down at Princess Park when he came. But, oh, mate, what a player. And, you know, we've got another good number nine there at the moment.
That's right.
Hopefully he hasn't got a broken toe.
Mm. So may Adelaide keep losing, and
you said they've got a soft run, didn't you?
They haven't got a tough draw. They've got a couple of easy ones.
They've got to play us still.
Yeah, we'll beat them. We'll beat them at the moment. That is it. That is all she wrote. Hooroo to you, and hooroo to you.
Yeah. Oh, Gex, you've just given me.
No, that's don't. I just. Yeah, that's it.
Threw a grenade.
You've been listening to the Carlton Show. Somehow we've eked out about an hour. I honestly thought we had about 20 minutes in us tonight.
Yeah.
But,
it was. I felt it difficult tonight to actually put things down on paper. But,
folks.
We got through.
Sayonara. And they will know that they've been playing against
the famous old dark blues. When making the double chicken deluxe at Macca's, we wanted to improve on the perfect combo of tender Aussie chicken with cheese, tomato and aioli. So, we doubled it. Chicken and Macca's, together and loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Available after 10:30 a.m. for a limited time only.